our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa.
Welcome back to the Saturday Splash with Lynn, Maddie, and Shelby right now. The grandma got run over by a reindeer. Public service message. Don't have it be the other way. Use your high beams. Deers are very active during the dawn and dusk hours. And if you use your high beams when there is not another car, you can see them, and then your car will not get run over by a reindeer.
That is okay. Good.
Public service announcement out.
Save the grandmas.
And the reindeers.
And the deers. Just all of them.
If you see reindeer here, really don't run over them, because that means that it's Santa Claus. Because, you know, reindeer are not really native here to South Carolina or North Carolina.
But they do carry presents with them.
Uh-huh. Okay. Moving along.
Moving along. Speaking of presents, you know what gift I would like to give to you listeners and the world?
What gift is that?
Clean water.
Okay.
And clean soil.
That's so generous.
Thank you. One way that we can do that is by practicing organic farming.
Ooh.
This is kind of a, I like, you know, you see that you drive around. I've been driving around recently and seeing the billboards that say, woo, yay, go organic. So it's been making me think about organic farming practices. And there's a lot of really good, positive reasons to farm organically or garden organically. And then there are definitely some reasons why it's not always practical. So we're going to talk today about the pros and cons of organic farming. I mean, from a clean water point of view, organic farming is a very great way to protect the water. When you use pesticides and herbicides, not to say you shouldn't use them, because let's be honest, if you're breaking your back putting all this work into a farm or a garden, you may want to protect them from crops. But what a lot of people do is apply them incorrectly. And this might be on a farm level or a garden level, but make sure you read the back of your bottle. And when it says use X amount, use X amount.
But if I use double X amount, will that not kill double the amount of, like, pests?
No, it will wash into the stormwater.
And I have a fun fact about pesticides for you. So 1.2 billion pounds of pesticides are used annually, but less than 1% actually ends up on the target, you know, the pest.
Ah, yeah.
And so where is all of that other 99% going?
Our food? Our water? Our air?
Whoa, you're right.
Our bodies, our environment. No. So that is a pro of organic farming, is that it is a pesticide-free practice. So you don't have to worry about any of the stormwater runoff there, which is good. And it also promotes soil health. So pesticides are a poison, right? We've talked about this on the show before, but there's this biomagnification in the food chain where you spray too many pesticides on a plant, you get lots of little dead bugs around your plant. Well, those dead bugs act as a food source for, let's say, a bird. And the bird comes along and eats the dead bugs, and the bird dies. And then the snake comes along and eats the dead snake, or eats the dead bird, and then the snake dies. And, you know, it can work its way up the food chain into humans, too.
That's like the circle of doom.
It is. It is the circle of doom. But anyway, soil is amazing, because soil is so full of life. You would be just blown away by the amount of microbes and little critters that live in the soil. And they're good. The critters help to make the soil healthy. But when you use pesticides on the soil, it can knock out those native critters, and it just makes the soil much less healthy, much less dead.
Much more dead.
Much more dead, much less alive.
Right.
So organic farming practices are really good at promoting soil health. They let the soil hold more carbon, and this makes the crops more nutritious. So they've got more minerals, more micronutrients in them. So that translates to a better food product for you. Pollinators, too. We love the pollinators, right? These poisons kill the pollinators, y'all.
Oh, no.
I know.
No, we don't like that.
No, we don't. And just overall, organic farming leads to a healthier work environment. If you are working in an area full of poison versus an area not full of poison, I think it is clear to see which one is healthier.
And, you know, and the interesting thing about organic farming is, a lot of times people think, oh my gosh, this is so, it's so complicated and I have to get certified to be an organic farmer. But we're talking really about organic farming practices, not organic certification.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Organic certification, to be USDA certified, it's a huge process. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of energy. So often what you'll see at markets or you know, local stands is they might not call it organic, but they might call it chemical free or pesticide free. And it's the same thing minus the certification, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, technically I farm organically, but
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But I did not pay a lot of money to get certified that. No, because you know why? I'm eating my food.
Yep. You know where it came from. You grew it.
That's right. I want to know what's in my food.
Yeah. USDA organic certification is such a process. And that still only means that 95% of your ingredients are organic. They might not be all 100% organic.
So you had mentioned cons. What are cons of organic?
Yeah. So organic, on a large scale, it is not always practical. So it is a lot easier to grow a lot more food if you can control those pests. A lot of organic farming is manual labor. You might be actually going out there yourself and picking off the pests and doing the weeding and things like that. So it can take a lot more time to have an organic farm. And
not to mention, if you're an organic farmer, you aren't using genetically modified organisms. And, mm-hmm. you know, the one of the good thing about GMOs is that they've kind of been able to fight nature. So that's what is able to help us, produce these higher yields. And that has pros and cons itself, but
there's sure, yeah, that's a whole different discussion. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the food that we eat is a genetically modified food, and it's just, you don't see that as much on an organic scale. There aren't as many government subsidies for organic farms too. So, if you're growing, if your goal is to grow a lot of food in abundance cheaply, then growing organically is just impractical.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, you think about the scale of some of these large farms, you know, with the big crops, wheat and corn and these type of things, and think about how it would even be possible, you know, for them from some of these farmers to farm on this huge, huge scale organically, you know, the amount of work involved would just be impossible.
Yeah. And organic crops can tend to be a little bit pricier too, especially to get in from the grocery store. If you're going to your local farmer's market, the prices usually are comparable. They're not so bad. But if you are just going down to Bilo and you're getting the organic peaches or whatever, they can be a little bit pricier than their counterparts next to them. So that makes them a little more appealing too, in terms of cost.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, it's just not always practical.
Yeah, but it's nice where we can. If it were me, I would like to see a lot of our agriculture move to a local level. But then again, not all areas of the country are equipped to grow as well as some. So, you know, here in the Southeast, we stay warm relatively year-round, and we can grow crops year-round, but not everywhere has that kind of climate. So yeah, there's a need for
that's something I was going to say was, you know, although larger, you know, organic farming can't produce such large yields as conventional farming, a pro that comes out of that is that we actually start to focus more on community efforts and backyard efforts. And, you know, community gardening is more than just the vegetables. It's about actually becoming a community again. As you guys know, we're starting a project out at Legacy City Farm, near Legacy Charter School. And one of the neighbors, that's actually something she said. She said, I'm so excited to have a farm because she grew up on that land. And, you know, her parents and the neighbors, they used to all farm that property, and they used to all come out and they knew each other and they helped each other. And she said she's really hoping that that's something that the farm brings back to the community.
So I think that'd be awesome. Actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, if y'all haven't visited legacycityfarm.com, do that, because on the website or on our Facebook page, do we have a picture of this lady when she was a small, tiny child?
It's not up yet, but it's coming. Working on a historical post. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really great to see that we're going to return the land to what it used to be.
Yeah, that's really cool. So maybe for your bigger products like your wheat and your soy, maybe it's not practical to have your community garden and grow them. Or you could. I don't know how you grow wheat. But anyway, for a lot of these smaller crops, if you think about it, if everybody in your neighborhood each grew their own, you know, everybody grew one kind of crop, then we would all just have such a variety of produce to eat throughout the year.
We'd, We do that a little bit. I mean, really, if you kind of think about it, at the Soil and Water Conservation District, we have a little bit of that going on. Kind of everyone in our office grows something, sometimes more than one thing. And inevitably, you have a boatload of one thing. And so everybody in the whole office gets to enjoy it.
Yeah. So we're really excited about Legacy City Farm, too, because this is a, not only are we going to be bringing the community back together, but we're going to be using it as a teaching tool for the students of Legacy Charter School. So not only will we get to involve the community, but the students will get a hands-on view of what it takes to grow your own food.
And importantly, other local farmers and people who are interested in conservation practices on their farm and the way that they can go about doing that, this is going to be a demonstration farm for them.
Yeah. Yeah. We hope just to instill some farming spirit back into the world. The total number of farmers is declining every year in the U.S. So every year we have fewer and fewer people to grow our food. Right now the average age of a farmer is 58 years old. So they're not going to live forever. Hopefully you do. But yeah, realistically, you won't.
And hopefully the next generation's focus on, you know, an ecological balance. And that's something we're going to invest a lot of energy into this project.
Interesting fun fact. Do you know what the largest growing segment of farmers is right now?
I do.
What is it?
It is. Oh, Shelby, do you know? It is middle-aged females.
Yes.
Yeah. So just moms.
Moms are interested in making sure their kids get good food. And so let's say that I'm, you know, you're in Greenville and you don't have space for a garden. What could you do?
Well, you can do what I did because I'm in that situation. And fortunately, Greenville Rec has started a couple community gardens and they'll be taken off in the spring. So you can do what I did and go to greenvillerec.com and secure yourself a plot or two and start growing your own food.
Yeah. There's also an organic grower school in Asheville. We've got in Concord, North Carolina, the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association. Clemson has a new and beginner farmer program. So lots and lots of ways for you to get involved. I'm always inspired. I have a lot of friends, a lot of young people that are starting to get back, or I guess they're starting to get into farming, starting to bring it back around and give more attention to it. So get out there, young people. Get farming.
Get farming.
It's cool. It's hip and it's trendy.
And come back and visit us here on the Saturday Splash. We are here every week on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.